Father, we thank you for your precious word. We're thankful that it all fits together, that even the book of Daniel is the key to all the rest of prophecy, and we forget that. But we're so grateful, Lord, for this man, Daniel, who's astounding. And help us to be more like Daniel, Lord. We live much happier lives. So, Father, speak to us, and we will give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you'd like to open up to chapter 6. I think that's the right chapter. Just remember that, though. In this particular lesson, Daniel had an excellent spirit within him. An excellent spirit. What would people say about you or myself? There are people that you just want to be close to because they just kind of exude the Lord. And you hope that they'll rub off on you. But who is this Darius? You know, he just kind of shows up on the scene here. Well, actually, Darius is a name like Pharaoh. It means he's the head honcho, whatever you want to call him. And Cyrus had actually appointed him. Remember, Cyrus is the one that took Belshazzar, that was last week, out. And took Babylon away from him. Well, Cyrus couldn't be everywhere, so he gets these governors to be rulers over this kingdom. It's interesting how Daniel got that job. And the thing that puzzled me, or I kept questioning myself going through this, was Daniel, how did he get in such an important position? You know, and then you have to remember that the Lord was guiding his life. And you want the Lord to guide your life? You're in good hands. Amen. Believe me, you don't want anybody else guiding it. So God has a plan. Sometimes I kind of wonder about that plan, but that's okay too. Well, how old was Daniel? I think this is important because he might have been semi-retired. He was in his 80s. And he could have said, well, you know, I'm just getting too old for this stuff. But the king pulled him into his job of being head over this one particular area of Babylon. It's amazing to me. But the problem was his work was better than everybody else's. Anyway, one thing I wanted to say about Darius is that this is not Darius the First. He rules Medo-Persia later on, but this is just a ruler called Darius by Cyrus. And like if I started talking to you about Pharaoh, you wouldn't know which Pharaoh I was talking about unless I also tell you his name. It just represents a high place, and Darius was a high place. And how he got so involved with Daniel, I don't know. Daniel's work must have really was great, and we know that the others not only helped him at the kings and so forth, but that the Lord helped him. The Lord was right there with Daniel, and he was putting him where he belonged. I don't think he was semi-retired, but he probably felt a little bit tired. He was going through all these leaders, and Belshazzar would have been a real tough guy to talk to because he didn't want anything to do with the Lord. So, but these guys heard that Darius was going to promote Daniel to be over all of it because he was such a good worker. You know, They didn't like that idea at all. Why didn't they like that idea? They were opposing Daniel for several reasons, and you probably came up with some of these in your lesson. One was envy. You know, Daniel was the hot shot guy, and he was doing a great job, and he was old, and but they all liked him. And in his work, they couldn't find anything wrong. They were looking for something wrong that he would commit. Ever had anybody watching you while you were working? Looking for something that you might do wrong? Oh, it's not nice. But I think their main concern was financial. And this is something I hadn't thought about until I thought about politics today, because there's so much buying off of people and votes. And I think these fellas had something going under the carpet. No, under
the table.
Table. Thank you. It would be kind of strange under the carpet. That's all right. So they couldn't use their offices for personal profit, and they'd lose their share of the graft that they were putting in their pockets. I thought, gee, it's just like today, huh? Mm-hmm. So, and it's also likely that these younger fellas wouldn't like an older person telling him what to do. But especially because he was Jewish. He was one of the Jewish exiles. And they didn't want him telling them. You know, this anti-Semitism is a grievous sin to the Lord.
Yes.
And it's bothered me a lot when we have leadership that says he's against Netanyahu or the Israelis. Do you realize what a little tiny place that is? It's not much bigger than New Jersey. So just remember that whole area is against Israelis. But that's been so from the days of Pharaoh on to today. And we will get it on until we get into Revelation 12. You got to go back and read Genesis 12, 1 through 3. If you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. If you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. And these two guys didn't know what they were really doing. And Audrey asked a real good question yesterday. She said, well, if they were going to put Daniel in the lion's den, had they ever considered they might get put there? No, I think they really felt they had such a case against him that that would never happen. So, but Daniel had such a great attitude and such character. And we're going to see that in a question that I asked. The leaders were asked yesterday. They didn't come up with the right answer. So it's going to be interesting to see. They'll probably get mad at me by next Monday, but that's all right. So the word was out. Darius was going to put Daniel over the whole shebang there and the whole realm, and what was going to happen to the other two. They didn't know. So they had to get a charge against him. But they watched him work and watched him work, and they couldn't find anything. So what did they come up with? They come up with the fact that this fellow loved God. That was his weakness. His weakness. No, I don't think so. So they wanted to find some fault against him. Here are the most powerful men in the kingdom, second only to the king himself, and they're motivated by hate and envy and jealousy and financial reasons. Now, does that happen to Christians today? Oh, you bet it happens to Christians today. I had a friend, this is some time ago, who worked for the post office. She was a woman, and the guys there didn't like her. And they were in the back room tossing packages around and having a great time, and she was working very hard. Well, they did their best to get rid of her because it interfered with them. And sometimes Christian integrity will show up the laziness, or here, these were fun-loving people. And you can lose your job, but that's all right. You know, if you're working your job, whether it's changing diapers or cleaning showers or vacuuming, if you're doing it as unto the Lord, it counts. And just count on it counting. And you can put it to better use if you use that time to pray also. There's a lot of people that need prayer. But many a faithful Christian has been bypassed for promotion or a salary increase just because higher-ups didn't like them. And today that's so obvious with this being politically correct. I'm so tired of hearing that expression. I hope it goes away. So, so if you hear your kids say, well, you know, everybody's doing it. And that's, of course, what they put on Darius. They were saying, you know, we all feel this way. How many is all? It's two guys that were really concerned. So please check when your kids say, well, you know, everybody's doing it. Mm-mm-mm. Gotta check that one out. I remember once with one of my sons, okay, who? Name them. We came up with one person. Or everybody's doing it, don't buy it. And television, too, is really bad in this realm because they'll say, oh, all the statistics say this is the way, everybody thinks this is the greatest, and so on. Anyway, these two guys went in and with some others, and they hassled the king, and they wanted him to sign this thing immediately. And they knew it couldn't be changed, but apparently Darius didn't know at first. The decree was evil, for it forced all the people to worship the king. Daniel's enemies worded the decree very carefully, and it didn't seem very religious at first. But at the heart of it lay the fact that Darius was going to be God. And did you notice God for 30 days? How can you be God for 30 days? I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, that could make a show on TV. Yeah, you want to be God for 30 days.
It sounded good to Darius.
Mm-hmm. It did sound good, and that's his pride is really what tricked him up. And what's this business of having a den of lions? Why couldn't it have been something else? Well, in those days, ancient Near East considered hunting lions as being a great pastime for royalty. Like Britons, the British people have fox hunting. And of course, I always think, oh, those poor lions. Or then I think, oh, those poor foxes. You know, because I'm just such an animal lover, I just hate to see anybody do that. But it would have been more sport to go after lions, you know, more of a challenge of seeing all those large teeth. So they went for the thrill of it. But well, how does Daniel respond to all this? This is where we need to really pick this up. Had he not been a man of faith and courage, Daniel could have compromised and found excuses for not maintaining his faithful prayer life. Mm-hmm. How easy it would have been to say, I think I'll leave town for 30 days. Or, I think I'll close my window and nobody will know. I have some good ideas for what the king could have done too. But all of that would have been unbelief and cowardice. That's what I would have done. That's just awful when it convicts you. And the Lord would have withheld blessing if he had done any of those things. But, you know, Daniel only feared the Lord. And we know that if you fear the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom. He feared the Lord regardless. And I would ache for us to have that same thought. So when he hears that this document has been signed, what does he do? He goes right home and he goes up to his, sounds like a third floor, where the window's open, and he gets down on his knees and he's praying. And who's out there watching? Ever had a group of people out there watching you pray?
No.
I don't know.
Maybe they heard
him. Yeah, they probably heard him. What's he praying over? Well, that's the thing that I hope we really get a picture of today, is he's thanking God. Now, how could you be thanking God if you knew the lions were going to chomp on you? What was he thanking God about? God's sovereignty and his faithfulness and his care. And he had lived in Babylon for 65 years. He had gone through several kings, and he saw them as they would come to faith or not come to faith, just the kind of people they were. And but you know, you and I are called to be women of thanksgiving. And so the only thing I can do is give you a verse, Ephesians 5:20, but then I can ask you, how did things go this morning? What did you say to the Lord this morning? Oh, well, my things at home are just terrible. Good. Did you thank him for it? It's what he wants, because it wasn't due. It demonstrates faith towards God. And I think if you and I were facing a bunch of hungry lions, I don't know if we'd be out there thanking God. But that was Daniel. Yet his enemies used degrading words about Daniel, and so he could lower him in the king's mind. Now the king was greatly displeased with himself and distressed with what he had done. And he suddenly saw that it was an issue of pride with himself. And it had gotten the best of him. But that's the thing, is it so often can get the best of us because we're looking at the immediate. You know, why didn't Darius ask Daniel about this? He didn't. Why didn't he think it through? Why were these guys so anxious to get this thing signed? A lot of questions that he could have had, but he had signed it into law very hastily, just like what happened in the book of Esther. It was the law as soon as it was written down. But God works all things after the counsel of his own will, and he knows what he's doing. Now, I have questioned that on occasion. And then I just have to come back and say, oh, God, you know what you're doing. You do it so well. Now, how about when he disciplines us in kindness? It's overwhelming. Or he blesses us out of the blue. And you know, it's like, wow, what a God we serve. Well, you know, that's why Daniel could do what he did, is because he served only the Lord. Now, the king made it clear that he wanted to save Daniel from execution, but all his efforts failed. So I was thinking about some efforts. Well, he could have fed the lions poison. He could have left a gate open so Daniel could get out. See, my mind works very busy. What else could he have done? There wasn't any way out. That was the problem. The thing had been signed. And of course, he was a god now. So the people were praying to him. So how could you let Daniel out and accept the prayers of other people? It just doesn't work. So he would look really bad within the people, and he couldn't. So Darius ignored all the matters concerning the kingdom and tried to free Daniel, but his attempts failed. Daniel's enemies were on hand to remind the king. Did you notice that too? Well, you can't go back on your word. You signed it. They were really quick to point that out. So Darius had to call Daniel and put him in the lion's den. Oh, that was seems so unfair. But he had been around for 65 years, and just like his three friends that went into the fiery furnace, he just went ahead. That's all there was left for him to do. But did you notice what Darius said? Maybe your God will save you. And I thought, he hasn't been around Daniel very long. But look at how Daniel has rubbed off on that king. And I don't know if he's a believer or not, but he's certainly getting headed in that direction. And the fact that he was displeased with himself, I thought, was a good sign of maybe repentance. King said, you know whom you serve continually. What a powerful statement that is. You know, how do people read us? How do people read us in our homes? Do we have that time? And I thought, well, not three times a day, but some days it's a lot of prayer, and you just seek out the Lord. But bottom line is, that's all you and I have is the Lord. And it's his continuous testimony was bearing fruit. It was just really rubbing off on the king. And of course, it was at the potential of costing Daniel his life. So, next week we get to see, tune in to find out, does Daniel make it through the lions? So I had some questions on that that aren't in your lesson, because they would fire me. But you think about it, who spared Daniel from the lions? Was the lions took one look at him and said, he's too old and scrawny? They had to get that in there. The Lord understands. Because I'm too old for the lion's teeth. Or did an angel close the lion's mouth? Or did the Lord close the lion's mouth? Those are things to think about as you get into the next lesson. And the reason I brought it up is, be sure to read carefully. That's how we get into so much trouble with the Word of God, is that we're not reading carefully. I find myself doing that, just sometimes skipping over something. But Daniel is an incredible man and something very worthy to imitate. Just think this week, how do I rub off? How do I rub off on my children, my husband, the clerk at the grocery store? Just on and on. And would people ask questions about our faith? Anyway. Father, we thank you for your precious word again. We thank you that you had an amazing man under you that simply trusted and obeyed you. And Lord, you've called each of us to do the same, to trust you, to obey you. Lord, when our hearts and minds are single focused on you, you do put things together. You do make sense out of things. Help us be delivered from the anxiety of our problems eating us, such as the lions. Help us to see you're in it regardless. And I thank you for Daniel's example, Lord, how he worked it through. He kept his habit going as he had from a little kid seeking you out. What a joy. And Lord, it's wonderful to see this man praying, facing Jerusalem, because you want to rebuild Jerusalem. And the time was coming. He had read Jeremiah. He had read Isaiah. He knew the time was coming for the Israelites to go back home, but to a mess. Anyway, that would be the temple that would be built that you would enter yourself, Lord. This is amazing. All of this is all designed, and you're aware of all of it. Help someone today, Lord, to be encouraged by the life of Daniel, including myself, Lord. And we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.